Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your holy written word. I receive your word into my spirit right now. We receive from you, Holy Ghost. You are the teacher and the guide. We expect your direction. We expect your teaching today. We expect to be led into all truth and glory. Change us, Holy Ghost, that we may stand in your glorious presence. And in all that you've prepared for us, we desire to know you deeper, greater, in more wonderful ways. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." What's her confession here? That her daughter's nuts. Her daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. This is all she can say. She came crying, right? Crying after Jesus. You people here? What is she doing? She's crying and begging and saying the problem. Verse 23, and he, Jesus, answered her not a word. How many people are in this situation? Have a problem. They're crying to Jesus. Oh, and what's happening? Why is God not answering me? He's not answering her a word, not a single word. The heavens, they seem like brass. They're closed. Is anybody in this situation today? Hello? Is anybody? We see them all over the place. Do you know anybody like this? They've got problems. I've met some people with so many problems, you can't even put them all on a piece of paper. You have to go to the second sheet and the next sheet. And if you ask them, what are they going to tell you? All of them. They're going to tell you all their problems. And next time, what are you going to say? You aren't going to say, well, how are you doing? You're going to say, ah, I got a phone call. Would you be wrong to answer them not a word? Would you be like Jesus answering her not a word? Oh, brother, that just sounds mean. Well, then Jesus was mean. Was Jesus being mean to this woman? She had to come in a certain way or she wasn't get her problem met. Right? Was Jesus acting out of love? Are you acting? Jesus couldn't act out of love. He was love. This was love. Not answering her. We would seem in our natural sense, oh, that's not love. He should have said something to her. Sent her a get well card or something. Disciples, send her a get well card. Not a word. And what does that make you? It makes you look callous. How could Jesus walk past people? Jesus walking past people that have obvious problems. They're crying out to him, telling him all their problems. What's he doing? Brother, you're scaring me. He's answering them, not a word. You people here? Let me ask her, did she have favor with God? Not yet. She didn't have his ear. She had nothing with God. She had no covenant with God. She had nothing, zero. That's why he's not answering her. Brother, I thought this was supposed to be good news. It will be. Hang on. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. See, they wanted Jesus to answer this situation too, just in the opposite direction. At least get rid of her then. If you're not going to answer her, get rid of her because she's driving us nuts. But he answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And look what happens. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. What's he doing now that he wasn't doing before? Now he's answering her. Something changed. Something happened, people. Do you understand? What happened? What was different here in her approach to Jesus the Lord? I mean, she knew that he was the son of David, right? Before, she knew this. So she had some knowledge. The one thing she did differently was she worshiped him. That's all. She still said, have mercy on me. She still said some of the other words. But the one thing she did was worship him. You think you got some issues in your life and it just doesn't seem to be getting through. You don't know. I thought I was confessing the right things. I thought I'm confessing the right things. Those faith and confession preachers told me what to say. They sent me a card. I've been saying those things. What's happening? What's happening? I've been tithing. I've been doing everything I know to do. And it seems like he's answering me, not a word. This is key. Just worshiping. Shut up. Now, I'm not telling you not to confess the right thing. I'm a faith and confession preacher. I'd be going against many sermons I've already preached. But I'm not going to do that. It's worship that gives you favor with God. And we're going to get into this. It increases your favor. It increased his willingness to listen to her. How many of you have plans in your life? How many of you, God's been showing you some things? Just recently to me, he's showing me some new stuff about where I need to go and what I need to do. And I don't know how to do it. That's good news, if you ask me, because then you know you've got to get direction from the Spirit of God to do it. So I'm going to keep my stuff. I'm going to keep my confession in line. I'm going to do what I know to do. But I'm telling you, if you'll do this, if you will worship God, it will increase. We'll get into this. It'll multiply your favor with God. There may be thousands of people out there doing the right thing, but you're the only one worshiping him whose favor is going to be multiplied. Yours. Tell you, this is a key, people. You may not see it yet, but I'm telling you, this is a key. And I don't just mean worship songs. Well, I sing worship songs. No, I mean you shutting everything out and just doing nothing but going, God, this is me, Andrew. This is me, Rich. Hello, I worship you. Get down on your knees, raise your hands in the air, and worship God. You're now approaching him, and favor is multiplied to you. I saw this in the Spirit the other day after I preached the week before on worship. I don't know how God deals with you on certain things, but I knew there was something over here in the Spirit that I was missing. It's a key. I'm like, what is it? So I prayed in the Spirit about it and prayed in the Spirit about it. God, reveal that to me. Well, this is it. This is it. It's favor. Favor comes. Supernatural divine favor with God and man comes through this vehicle of worship. Things that you may have been trying to pray them out, things you may be trying to confess out, things you may be trying to give. We're doing all these things. We know we're supposed to do this stuff, but we're missing it in this one area, this area of supernatural favor with God. Where he starts to look at you instead of the one sitting next to you. Did Jesus do this? Was he talking to anybody else at this time? With this woman? At this time, he was answering her. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. Millions of people. Who's the one person he's talking to? This woman who doesn't have any business talking to him. But because she worshiped, who else was worshiping him at this time? Nobody. They were like, get her away. Were the disciples worshiping him then? No, they're like complaining to him. Who's he ignoring now? Brother, you're twisting my head. You say he's going to ignore his disciples to go to someone who's worshiping him? You starting to see this? Yes. He'll ignore 1,000 people who are his disciples who are complaining to him to go to one and cause favor to come to that one who is worshiping him. Brother, I'm starting to see it. I might even get as excited as you are about it. Well, good. Did I read all of that? He said, I'm not, verse 24, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him. Underline that. Put circles around it or something. Saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Hallelujah. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole in that very same hour. Did she get blessed? Did she get what she was seeking? Did she really have a right to? Did she like supersede all this other stuff? Why has God picked someone and put them? She went to the head of the crowd here. There are other people that are sick there. She went to the head of the crowd by doing one thing. Worship. Worshiping God. You want to see favor multiplied to you? I mean multiplied. Not just like increased. It'll increase. That's part of multiplication. But multiplied. You get into multiplication and numbers grow big, don't they? They grow quick and big. Doesn't take long. Hallelujah. Go with me to John 4, 22. Glory be to God forever. John 4, verse 22 says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Notice how Jesus here, he's answering another woman. What is it with these women? He's answering another woman saying what? You don't know what you're worshiping. But salvation is of the Jews. Did Jesus connect worship and salvation? Did he? No, brother, I don't see how he did. Let me read this again. Are you people here? You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Do you need to know what you worship? I'm going to help you today to know what you worship. Okay? They know what they worship. And when you're worshiping the right person, salvation comes. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. We're going to have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We all know that the word is what? Truth. The word is truth. So if we line ourselves up with the word, the Bible, we're at least lining ourselves up with that part of it. Now we have to line ourselves up with worshiping the Father in the Spirit. Does this make sense? And I know this may twist your head a little bit today, but you know, sometimes your head needs a little twisting. Because sometimes it's just not on straight. If your head's not on straight, you're not looking in the right direction. I'm going to try to point you in the right direction today. Why? Because I want favor multiplied to you, brother. I want favor. God's supernatural favor. Do you guys want favor? Maybe I'll just have it all. I want you to have his favor resting on you so that when he may, you know, like I'm saying, he'll overlook thousands, millions even of people. And pay attention to you when his favor's resting on you. What could you do with God's favor on you? You think you're going to be poor, sick, and tired, and ugly? Brother, I'm that now. No, you're going to be blessed.
Yes,
healed, prosperous, moving in all the will of God. How? By God's favor. And I'm going to introduce a word that you've heard, but I can't do it now because I'll lose you. or I'll lose my tension. You know what you're trying to do when you're trying to speak? You're build something up. You're trying to keep the tension there. Tension, yes. You could say it's attention. If I told you the word, you'd forget. You'd go, I'm not paying attention to this anymore. Hallelujah. But I do. I want God's favor on you. I want it on me, but like I've said before, part of my job is to get his blessing on you. And then I get blessed. Then I go home and I get my prayer closet and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. If I just go and get blessed, he goes, you're stupid. And I'm tired of hearing that. He said that to you before? Yes. Goodness. But if I can get his favor to rest on you, you guys game. I'm serious. You may think I'm just up here spitting things at you. I'm serious. I want his favor, supernatural favor on you. And you'll be wondering, something happened. Something happened. I used to struggle. I used to have things not go my way. I used to confess and give and do all this stuff and nothing seemed to happen. It wouldn't break. I was there. What's going on? God, help me. Syrophoenician. I've been there, brother. Does it work? No. Complaining and saying the problem and saying, God, help me, does not work. This works. And you'll look back and you go, this was the time. I'm telling you, I can look back at my life and I say, this is the time when things started going the right direction. I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was a word guy listening to tapes back when, it wasn't so easy. I had to carry one of these big tape recorders around with me. People thought I was weird. I would. Tape, they were the tapes. Some people like, tapes? What's a tape? You didn't have earphones and headphones and all. It was just a tape with play. And I guess you could record, but I never would because I'd take the little tab out of there so it wouldn't record over my special messages. And I would listen to these things and feed on the word. Grow in the spirit. But it wasn't until I started doing this one thing. I think Norville Hayes kind of knocked on my head and told me about it. He's big on this too. Norville Hayes. Wasn't until I started worshiping God like this. Oh, you mean you didn't worship God before? You didn't sing the songs and clap the hands and play the tambourine? Yes, I did all that stuff and none of it did anything. Wasn't until I went and worshiped God on my own and I said, God, this is me, Andrew. I am worshiping you. I'm worshiping you.
Well, aren't you going to ask me something, son?
No! I'm worshiping you. I am worshiping you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. And that's all I did. Something happened to me, brother. Something supernaturally began to happen. Favor came from heaven. And then my confession started working better. My giving started working better. Everything started to snap. Why? Because God was looking at me with favor. Like I said, what can you do with the favor of God? You can do anything with the favor of God. You can walk into the president's office with the favor of God and poke him in the chest. You better have some favor. I'm serious. I'm expecting a lot out of you. I'm not expecting just a little bit, drips and drabs. Well, you have such a nice congregation. But the congregation I'm getting are people that are going to go for God. I'd rather him grow it slowly with people who really want the real thing. They want the living God on them, around them, and all over them, all 24 hours a day, than a whole big congregation of thousands of people, whiners and complainers. And Jesus was the same way. Hallelujah. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how are we going to do this? We're going to worship him in spirit and in according to the word of God, right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. If all you got out of this message today was that, it would work. It would work. You just get that. Brother, you're taking the tension away. But sometimes, sometimes we preach and we have too many things, right? Too many subjects. I've got 17 points to prosperity, brother. Well, who's going to remember 17 points? If you do this one thing, I'm telling you, favor will come on you and you'll be changed. Things will start to make sense that never made sense before. Things will start to work out you've been struggling with. Just worshiping God on your own. Go in your closet, worship Him. Can't be that simple. It is, goodness. How do you think, you know, God could have got it through to me? Complexity? No. Keep it simple, stupid. How many of you want to be prosperous? How many of you want to be healed? How many of you want everything that God has for you begin to manifest? And it seems like it's been struggling. This is the key, people. This is the key. He'll overlook thousands of other people and come put His favor on you when you do that. I worship you. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise when Mary... Am I reading the right place? Is that up there? Well, Mary was espoused to Joseph where before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Brother, what on God's earth does this have to do with it? We said we're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Mary was found with child, who was who? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Of who? Jesus was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Who's Jesus' father? The Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, I know, please, you can go all different ways with this, and we can get all into the Trinitarian doctrine and all these other things, but I'm trying to get you to see that we need to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He walked around talking about your Father. Who do you think you're conceived of when you're born again? The Word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes on you and creates a new birth in you. And I really, come on, you know, you can get into theological discussions over the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all of that's going to jumble up your head and drive you nuts anyway. But I'm trying to show you that the Spirit and the Father are one. Okay? Now people would blame me of being, oh, you're just of the oneness doctrine. No, I'm not. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost as three separate individuals that are one together. But I've got to deal with these scriptures, and so do you, that says Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, which makes the Holy Ghost the Father. The Spirit of the Father. And I'm going to show you a couple other scriptures here, okay? Just hold with me. Go to Matthew 10, 20. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. He said, don't think about what you're going to say beforehand, but the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of your Father speaks in you. Okay? Is the Holy Spirit God? This gets important, people. The Spirit of your Father. Go to Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship God where? In the Spirit. God who in the Spirit? God the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to come in the Spirit. If you worship Jesus, where are you going to worship Him? In the Spirit. If you worship the Father, you're going to worship Him in the Spirit. And I've been down this trail before, and I don't have time today to go through all of these things. But it is the Holy Spirit who is the one who is the representative of the Father in the Spirit. Do we know that if God is one, right, in Jesus, was He the fullness of Godhead bodily? Meaning when He was here, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They go, show me the Father. You looking at me, you see the Father. So the representative of God in the earth is the Holy Ghost today.
Brother, it seems like you're going to try to get us to worship the Holy Ghost.
I'm telling you, yes. Yes. He is the one in the earth today that comes in your closet. Who do you think you're feeling? When His Spirit comes on you, His Spirit, the Spirit of the Father. We're worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. What truth is it? He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of Jesus, the Bible calls Him. So if we're going to worship God in spirit accurately and in truth, we're going to be worshiping the Holy Ghost. And I know people don't like this. I know it raises, you know, heresy hairs on people's heads, and everybody has them. Well, what if we have scripture on it? If you do this, I'm telling you, if you do it, who was Jesus the manifestation of on the earth when she came to worship? The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost on Him. He was born of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Father. When the woman came and worshiped Him, she was worshiping God in the earth. Hallelujah. We're going to worship God. We're the circumcision that worships God in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All right. Go with me now to Luke 2. You know, and if you're having a problem with this, it doesn't matter. Worship the Father in the Spirit, okay? Go in your prayer closet and worship the Father. I'm not telling you can't do that. I do that too. Are you telling me I can't raise my hands and worship Jesus in my prayer closet? Are you kidding me? No, go worship Jesus in your prayer closet, okay? You telling me I can't worship the Father in my prayer? No, go worship the Father in your prayer closet. But I'm telling you, the one who's in your prayer closet with you is the Holy Ghost, because He's God in the earth today. I'd just like you to give Him a little time. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Holy Ghost, I worship You. You are God in the earth today. You're the one with all the gifts. You're the one with all the teaching. You're the teacher. You're my guide. You're my counselor. I worship You. Who are you worshiping? The teacher. Who are you worshiping? The counselor. Is that good? Is He God? Yes, He's the Spirit of the Father. That's why I say, anytime you open up this can of worms... I remember I read some art magazine. Don't ask me why. I was reading some art magazine. But there's this red color that's notorious for getting on everything. I forget the name of it. Some crimson color. And they say if you open this can up, at some point, you're going to get it on yourself. And it's the same thing when you start talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and them being one. At some point, you can't explain it. And you get it on yourself. So I just wear a little bit on myself all the time. You can't explain it either, so hallelujah. But the point is, Jesus said He was going to send the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the one, I'm telling you, He's the one. Give Him some time in your prayer closet, because He's the one who teaches you. He's the one who guides you. He's the one that came on Jesus. And He performed miracles. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. What about doing good? Where did I tell you to turn? Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus, your Lord, increase in wisdom and favor? Why would He have to increase if He was the Lord? If Jesus had to increase, is it of necessity for us to increase in wisdom and favor? Everybody say favor. We all know we can increase in wisdom, but favor? Favor with God? Oh, brother. Jesus increased in favor with God. Is this in your Bible? Maybe I'm reading it some wrong translation here or something. Just say Reader's Digest on the front. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Now, by the end of this, was Jesus pretty favored with God? I'd say He was His favorite. How would you like to be His favorite? Jesus isn't in the earth today. His spot's open. Carlene, you God's favorite?
Hallelujah. See? Glory be to God. How do you increase in favor, you people here? By worshiping God. Did Jesus worship God? Sometimes it's been all night worshiping God. Hallelujah. We should be, you know, we should have a contest so you can get more favor out of God. That's what I'm believing for. God to favor you more. All right, go back a little bit here. Go to verse 40. And the child grew. We're still talking about Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Something was on him, people. What was upon Jesus? The grace of God. Did you know this is translated favor many times? And this is where I'm spilling my beans. Favor is just another word for grace. Grace is another. And if I said grace right away, everybody would be like, well, I've heard about grace. I've heard 14,000 sermons on grace. I don't need to hear any more grace sermons. It's favor. Do you know what grace is? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. You're saved by grace. Have we all heard messages on grace? By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the favor. Can it be multiplied? Favor. Next time you read the word grace, just put the word favor in there. It'll just explode all these scriptures you thought you knew before. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this because I know what's on the other end. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He did what? He grew, waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Go back to Genesis quick. See this in your own Bible. I could have just read it, but there's a lot to be said about looking at that book with your own two eyes. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Insert favor. Noah. Noah was a righteous man in all his generations. He was a preacher of righteousness. He found grace. He found favor in the eyes of, what if he didn't? Well, we wouldn't be here today. You think Noah worshiped God? You think this is how he got his faith? And worship goes a lot farther than just playing the music. We understand that, right? Well, I worship God on Sunday morning. I sang three of my favorite songs. I'm not even sure that counts. I'm not even sure that Noah played the guitar or even knew those songs you're talking about. But he found grace. Look what Noah did. Did Noah change the world? One man, Noah. Did he change the world? What did he have to change the world? He had to have favor with God. He had God's ear. God was speaking to him. He was in communication with God. There's nothing you can't do. With God's favor on you, you could build a giant ship and start collecting animals. Oh, I hope you guys are excited about this. Just put Ephesians 2, 8 up there, Liv. I'll read it. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Through grace, through favor, unmerited favor, you are saved. Remember I said how he connected those two things before. Favor and salvation. Worship and salvation. You know not who you worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Worship and grace go together. Worship and favor go together. The amount you worship is the amount of favor you can walk in. If you're doing it right, in the spirit and truth. Do I have to reiterate all this stuff? Did that woman have Jesus' ears before she worshiped him? Did she have any favor and grace with him? None. Till she did what? She worshiped him. As soon as you worship God, it's like a magnet. It's one of those super attractors. Favor will increase on you. And you'll be able to do anything. What's another word for favor? The grace of God. Do we know this? How many of you know that the gifts are given? The gifts of the Spirit are given by what?
grace. You want some of the gifts of the Spirit? You want all the gifts of the Spirit? Grace, that's how you get them. They come on you by grace. The favor of God. Some of you should just run out of the room right now and say, I'm going home and worshiping God in my closet. Get ahead of this before anybody else gets it. Brother, you telling me, okay, I've gotten in trouble with my visions before, so I might as well share another one. When I started doing what? Going in my prayer closet, and I told you before, I was young at the time. I was probably only 17. I was pretty young, right? Don't you wish you were 17 again? Some people do, some people don't. I don't know. I don't think I really do. I'm going to go through all that again, brother. I've grown in wisdom and favor since then. But, so I didn't feel stupid about going in my bedroom and getting one of those cardboard, you know, card tables and putting a cloth over it or something. I made myself a nice dark tent. And I went inside it. That was my prayer tent. My way of closing myself out. And you ever see those rifle headphones where you go to shoot the rifles? You put the headphones on, you can't hear anything. So I go in there. I'm telling you that the point, I can look back on my, can you look back on your life and see different points in your life where things radically change? This is one of them. When I went back, I'd go in that prayer closet and I would do that. I would shut it out and I would say, I worship you, God. I worship you, Holy Spirit. I worship you. You're God in the earth today. And I didn't know all of this even back then. I was just worshiping God. I worship you. I, Andrew Hemstrott, worships you. And I would say my name. I didn't want him to confuse me with somebody else. Plus, what did that do to me? That focused me on what I was doing. I am a worshiper of God. I, Andrew James Hemstrott, worship you right here, right now. I'm worshiping you, the living God. I worship you. And I would do that to the point of where I started to see how big God was. He started revealing himself to me. And in the midst of this, up over a hill in front of me in the spirit, brother, you're freaking me out. Up over a hill in front of me in the spirit, this angel came up to me. And he handed these three tubular things and set them down at my feet. And I just continued there. I worship you, Holy Spirit. I worship you, God. You're the living God. He came up and he set him down in front of me. And then he just kind of backed off and went away. And then a revelation came to me. These are the gifts of the Spirit that I'm giving to you. Did I ask for them? And from that day on, I could see certain things begin to operate. Favor came to me. Grace. But it came. I didn't ask for anything. I didn't. All I was doing was worshiping God. I worship you. When you do that, favor comes to you. He'll send angels to you to do things that have never happened before. They'll come. Favor comes. What comes with favor? The blessing. I had a ton of scriptures. I could have gone down this road to show you how the favor and the blessing go hand in hand. The favor and the blessing go hand in hand. Worship God. Favor. You'll be on God's register. I don't know if he has a big chalkboard up there and says, okay, Patrick's here. Check. He's worshiping me. Send something to him. Bless him. We've already seen that God will overlook thousands of... Do you know that God overlooks thousands and thousands of people? And we wonder why. We don't have an answer for him. Now you do. Stop complaining. Worship God. Yeah, but what happened? I could have taken you to Job. I'm going to take you to Job. Go to Job chapter 1. Brother, can you describe and explain all the things that happened in Job? No. But I can show you something about Job. The person who Job was. Go to Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. So what is Job doing? Is he hanging out with evil things? No, he's turning from it. Then Satan answered, and he said, Does Job fear God for nothing?
Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What would you call this people? Favor and blessing. He was turning away from evil. He was fearing God, right? And what was happening? God had protected him on every side and increased him to the point where he was the richest man in the East. How would you like that kind of favor? Huh? Richest man in the East. What's your name? Richest man in the East. I've changed it to richest man. How are you going to get that without the favor of God? You wouldn't want it, because if you had the blessing without, if you had the wealth without the blessing, you'd just have sorrows with it. Favor of God will do wonderful things for you. Hallelujah. A hedge on every side. Do you know Satan was trying to find a way in? He was trying to find a way in, but the shrubbery kept him out. The hedge of protection kept him out. Yes, but we all know what happened to Job. Yeah, there were kinks in it, and Satan didn't know about it until he figured it out. We can do something about that, and that's a different message. I want you to see, though, that the kind of man he was. Okay, now look down at verse 20. Then Job arose after the devil came in and just destroyed everything. He got past his shrubbery, past the hedge of protection. Who did Satan say that put this hedge around Job? You've blessed everything he has. You put a hedge around him so that I couldn't get in and destroy it. And even God brought it up. Well, behold, look, you can't even touch him, can you? But he's the accuser. He'd like to accuse you of something. Anyway, we're talking about Job. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose, and this is after the devil came in and killed everything he had, destroyed everything he had. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. How low was Job at this point? Pretty low. How do you think Job got to the point he was before, where he was the richest man in the East? I'm telling you, this is a character thing. This is how Job got it before, and he knew that. Did Job get it all back? In a matter of 3 months, and scholars would say the longest amount of time that this could have possibly occurred was 3 months. And everybody wants to talk about Job. Well, he had 3 months of depression, recession, and how long do you think he was the richest man in the East? A lot longer than 3 months, right? He had wives, he had kids, he had full-grown kids. He was living the life, my friend, in the blessing of God, protected with the hedge about him that the Lord put there through worship. Do you see this? This is, even when it all fell down, what did he do? He began again by what? Worshiping. Did he have God's attention? Do we have scripture on this? He had God's attention when he worshiped him. Rent his clothes, shaved his head, brother. Shaved it off. Rent his clothes. I don't know who would have rented them at the time. But he rented his clothes. Means he ripped them. And what did he do? He fell on his face and worshiped God. And by the end of the story, what happened to him? He had twice. So he was twice the richest man in the East. Right? And they didn't really know about the West at that time, so the East was it, brother. They say the East and other parts. We don't know about it. How'd he get there? Worship, and the favor of God was on him. All right, hallelujah. Go to 2 Peter, and we'll try to wrap this up. Are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Are you going to make this a part of your life? Not just prayer, not just fasting, not just giving. Do all of those things, but worship God. I guarantee you, things will start happening that you never thought before would happen. Things will break open that you've never seen break open before. God will come and meet you. He'll start listening to you. He'll write you down. You put it on a schedule. God will write you down on his schedule. At 3:30, Rich always goes in his prayer closet and worships me. I want to be there. He'll set aside his schedule from everything else. Cancel that. They're just going to go in their prayer closet and bawl at me and beg things of me. I'm going to go over to Rich's house. He's going to worship me.
And he'll bring some goodies with him. Does God have goodies? Does he bring them with him? But when God comes, he brings all that he has with him. That's why Jesus could walk in the power of the Spirit when the Holy Ghost came on him by favor and grace. All the gifts. So you don't even need all the gifts. You just need him. He'll bring them all. Everything you need is in him, and he brings it all with him. And you can't have the gifts of God apart from God. They're not apart from him. You can't have the wealth of God apart from God. They don't come apart from him. They're part of him. That's why he said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I'm it. And when he's there, he makes you wealthy. When he's there, he makes you powerful. It's his favor. The key is having him there. And that comes by favor and grace. 2 Peter, you people still here? You getting anything out of this? Chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace, it's another word for grace. Favor, unmerited favor, and peace will be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, through knowing him. Can grace be multiplied? Can favor be multiplied? Does multiplication make things happen faster? Does it? Where's a calculator? Somebody explain this to people here. Does it happen faster than addition? Did he say grace and peace will be added to you? No, you already have it. You already have the grace. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the peace. I'll give you my peace. You have it. Every Christian, every born-again believer has the grace and peace. They have it. But some are walking in supernatural multiplied favor with God and others aren't. And I'm telling you what it is. It's worship. It'll break things. Think about how much grace and peace have just destroyed. What does peace destroy? Chaos, stress, strife. If it's multiplied, you walk in the room, peace. Because you come in, you got too much. Favor. Too much. Why? Because it's multiplied to you. Through what? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said, you know not what you worship. Knowing more about God, knowing more about the truth. We worship him in spirit and truth. All these things are so interconnected, people. I could preach on this for 4 weeks straight. I don't mean 4 weeks, an hour each week. Brother, I got things to do. I'm telling you, it is so interconnected. What are we called to do? Worship God? What are you created for? You ride motorcycles. No, to worship God. And we've been missing it. We put this on the back burner. No, worship. Worship. Worship him. And when you do it intentionally, on purpose, in your closet, guess what multiplies to you, my friend? Favor. Like I said, what can you do with the favor of God? Anything you want. He doesn't even count sin to you anymore. Remember, David was favored. He could have walked around saying, I'm his favorite. That's me. How are you his favorite? Because I worship him. How'd you get to be his favorite? Just like this. I worship you, God. Remember me? Andrew James Hemstraught. That's me. I'm here right now, this time, 12 o'clock, worshiping you. I worship you. What happened to me right then? I had some more favor deposited on me. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do this over a period of time and have nothing happen to you. Something's going to happen to you. What's going to happen? I don't know. But we'll be watching. Well, we'll see what happens to you. Start glowing. Hallelujah. You're glowing so much, they hook you up to generators outside of town. They're like, how do you guys power your town? Alan. We've got an Alan. And big, you know, like jumper cables attached to him.
I'm telling you, the favor and grace of God is key to all the gifts. The favor and grace of God is key to all your problems, all your wealth, everything you need to do. Everything you need. Don't you need grace to do what God told you to do? It's called favor, another word. Favor and grace. Supernatural. Brother, you could have told me that a long time ago. We could have made this shorter. Just tell me all I need is favor and grace. And you get it by worshiping God. End of sermon, go home. I could have wrote that out on a little card. Hey, you want the key to success? I have one success principle. Here it is. Worship God. But people wouldn't get it until you explain it in a way that they can understand. Worship Him. Do it. And you go, you set aside a time. Make sure that God knows it's you. I'm telling you, that may sound ridiculous. Well, God knows everything. He knows it's me. No, you. And this helps you to make sure God knows it's you. I'm telling you, you don't want to get it confused with, you know, the other people that may be worshiping, the two or three. You think people do what I've been telling you about? I didn't hear very many people talking about this until I bumped into it. Like I said, Norval Hayes was under his ministry for a while, and he talked about worship a lot. But it's when you do this that favor begins to break open, supernatural things, blockages. Anybody have any blockages? They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to get through this. Let the favor just destroy that thing. Let your favor multiply till the point where it can't handle it anymore, like a dam with too much water behind it. What happens? They're only designed to hold certain amounts of water, right? Certain amount of pressure. Certain amount of pressure on that dam. Well, if it's too full, it's going to do what? Explode. Well, if your dam's your problem, that damn problem, it needs some supernatural favor of God on that thing. It can't stand it. It'll break. It'll break, and you'll be a completely different person. Look at you. Look like a different person. Yes, I am. I'm not the same snot-nosed kid that used to go in his prayer closet anymore and worship God, but I'm the same person that worshiped God. And this thing will add up to your account, my friends. Does God like worship? I believe He takes account of it. He's like, Alan, well, he's up to send him a favor check. Hallelujah. I hope I got through to you today. Glory be to God. Grace and peace is multiplied to you. Go to one more and we'll end with this. John chapter 1, verse 16. And of His fullness we have all received and grace for grace. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Insert what word?
Favor.
Supernatural divine favor upon supernatural divine favor. Of His fullness we have all received. You ever meditated on scriptures before? You meditate on this one. Favor and grace. Of His fullness. You want to I don't think any of us right now could handle His fullness. It says, of His fullness we have all received favor upon favor, grace for grace. How's this going to happen? Every time you worship God, a little more favor comes your way. A little more favor comes your way. Till a couple years down the road, people are going to go, well, how did you do it? How did this happen to you? What happened to you? Why does it seem like the blessing of the Lord, the fullness of the blessing of the Lord is resting on you? Grace upon grace. Favor upon favor. You want to receive the fullness of God? This is the way. We receive the fullness. Do you see this? We receive His fullness by grace. Go back to grace preaching. You're saved by grace. Are you not? You're saved by favor. Not of works, lest you should boast. But what multiplies this favor? Why can you walk into greater salvation than maybe other people can? Why can you walk? Do you understand? Can you walk in all of the blessings of God? All of the favor of God? All of the supernatural things that come through salvation? It comes by grace. And you can walk in it even more than somebody else. Sorry. Life isn't communistic. It isn't just doled out to everyone equally.
The opportunity's there, but you've got to have the grace. You've got to have the favor. And you get it by worshiping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross and to bear our sins and to be striped with stripes to take away our sicknesses. We receive these graces. We receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was made poor, that we would be made rich. We receive these graces. We receive this grace multiplied to us by worshiping you. And as we worship you, we receive healing. As we worship you, we receive the gifts of the Spirit. As we worship you, this grace, this favor is multiplied to us, and we thank you for it. We thank you that it's all provided by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of his fullness, we all receive grace upon grace, favor upon favor. We enter into it now in Jesus' name. Everybody say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I worship you. I worship you. I am your worshiper. I worship you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. We are worshipers of you, Lord God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. We worship you. We're involved in your plan. We're accomplishing your work. We desire your favor and your grace to do it. We worship you. I worship you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Anybody feel anything when you did that? Not that we go by feelings, brother. But when you do that, favor comes. Comes on the same tube almost. Tube. Comes on the same ladder or whatever. However God does this stuff, I don't know. We'll leave that up to him. But when you worship him, you get an impartation or you get something that comes on you. Favor comes on you. Do it. Continue to do it. Do it on your own. Be in competition with everybody else. Be the most favored person God has. The most favored. Everybody say, I am the most favored of God. Because I worship him the most. Ha 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 ha. Hallelujah, glory to God. We worship you. You're so good to us. Hallelujah.